Today on Seculo, it's now been revealed that the FBI left out the IRS in the Biden bribery investigation.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, on this Monday, folks, we got a lot to talk about on Seculo. We want to take your calls too, your questions, a lot of issues where I'm sure you do have questions on these matters because there's all these different investigations, lots of different whistleblowers. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. We expect this to be a very interesting week because Christopher Wray is going to be testifying for the first time since all this information, this new information on whistleblowers and the FD-1023 and David Weiss and why were the FBI involved but not the IRS involved. The list goes on. I'm going to go through actually seven questions that the Judiciary Committee in the House and Jim Jordan's committee wants answered by Christopher Wray and the FBI. But also, we have a new letter. This came out just last night. This is from Senator Grassley to David Weiss, the U.S. attorney, who is, of course, investigating Hunter Biden. And he said, based on the information provided to my office from individuals aware of the meeting on October 23rd, 2020, Justice Department and FBI special agents from the Pittsburgh field office briefed Assistant U.S. Attorney Leslie Wolf, one of your top prosecutors, and FBI special agents from the Baltimore field office with respect to the contents of the FBI-generated FD-1023, that's the whistleblower form alleging a criminal bribery scheme involving then-President Hunter Biden, the confidential informant form. And however, why did this meeting not include any IRS agents? Based on information provided to my office, hundreds of Justice Department FBI officials have access to the 1023 at issue, which begs the question I've been asking since the start of my oversight in this matter. What steps have the Justice Department and FBI taken to investigate the allegations? These were the allegations of the $5 million to Hunter, the $5 million to Joe from Burisma. That's the one we're talking about. There was a confidential informant that came forward, filed this 1023 form. All the Senate wants to know is, was it investigated? They're not claiming they know it's true. They say, we know someone came with this allegation. We know you had a team that had access to it. Did they investigate it? And what did they find? And if they found that it wasn't true, at least brief Congress on that. We have an oversight role. So we're going to talk about that as well, because IRS whistleblowers have affirmed that that assistant U.S. attorney, Wolf, prevented them from seeking information about Joe Biden's involvement in Hunter Biden's criminal business arrangement. So while they were investigating Hunter, they were blocked off from or shielded from actually investigating Joe Biden's connection, which would then, of course, block them from being involved in the investigation into this 1023, which, of course, if you're looking at a bribery scheme, you would imagine that the DOJ, if it was a conservative they were looking at, Logan, would certainly bring in the IRS.
Absolutely.
To come figure out if the bribery had actually occurred.
Well, it's another like
how would you be able to figure it out without the IRS?
Right. It's another shocking, not shocking moment again for this administration where things are briefed. Maybe they're actually doing some work. Hey, look, they're actually doing some work on this bribery investigation. But of course, we're going to leave out probably the most important player in dealing with money and taxes and all the things that you would. And when that happens, it stinks of corruption. We know this. We see it. Again, it's sadly one of those things that's not shocking, but we are happy to reveal it because that's when more information gets spread and that's when movements can happen.
So we'll take your calls on that today at 1-800-684-3110. We're also going to talk about Cece Howell, who you know for this broadcast, is attorney with the ACLJ. She's in Geneva. Just gave an oral intervention at the Human Rights Council on Pakistan. You'll be able to watch that intervention to see kind of the work that we do internationally and the case that we're working on out of Pakistan, our office in Pakistan. I thank you for your financial support so we can have that office. It's the Office of Legal Aid, which is our affiliate in Pakistan, doing really incredible work on the ground there. We're going to talk about, with Mike Pompeo, Joe Biden letting America's military info slip live on television, that we don't have enough ammunition. We're getting low on ammunition because of the stuff we've been sending to Ukraine. And finally, last segment, Trump at UFC. The reaction, the crowd reaction. You will not believe it, folks. We're getting to all this today. We'll be right back on Seculo.
Seculo.
welcome back to Secule. We are going to take your calls on this too. This stuff is getting more and more complicated. 1-800-684-3110 with the whistleblowers and the lack of information, really the U.S. attorney saying, no, I could have brought it everywhere. But really then he says, and we talked about to John Solomon on this when we hosted Sean Hannity's radio show last week, and John Solomon was like, yeah, when he says he can bring it anywhere, but again, he then doesn't bring it there. And says he couldn't have brought it there without the approval of the U.S. attorneys, and that's what all these whistleblowers are saying is he came to us and said he only had the authority to bring things in Delaware, so we really still don't know what happened in these other venues if he did want to try and bring legal actions or prosecutions or start a grand jury on Hunter Biden in Middle District of California or in Washington D.C. We still don't really have answers on that one. We also don't know. Whatever happened to this 1023 alleging the bribery scheme between Burisma, which we know Hunter Biden works for Burisma. That is not an allegation. That's a fact. But this bribery scheme that they were paid the Bidens an additional $10 million, five for Hunter, five for Joe. And this was in a 1023. Was it? We know that FBI and DOJ had access to it, including the U.S. attorney. Why did they block IRS officials from investigating it when they were investigating Hunter? And the answer looks to be that they didn't want those IRS officials were not given authority to investigate Joe Biden. So then they wouldn't have been able to investigate the allegations in the 1023. We're going to talk about that in a second. I want to get through two because Christopher Wray's got to testify before Jim Jordan's House Judiciary Committee. I think that will be a pretty bombshell hearing. But Logan, too, Sound of Freedom, probably not the only place you're hearing it if you're listening to the conservative and Christian world. Is blowing up. This movie's blowing up, and we're going to have folks on from the movie this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Later on in the week, potentially tomorrow, but sometimes later this week, we're going to have on a lot of different people who are involved in Sound of Freedom, which we're excited about. I saw the movie last night, and I'm a pretty harsh critic, someone who's made movies, made entertainment, involved in the film industry for most of my life. I'm certainly not someone who just says, gets behind a movement if the movie itself isn't great. And I could say I watched this movie. It's excellent. I had a really moving experience watching it. So did my wife. And I encourage everybody. This is not some sort of paid endorsement. Yep. They have done nothing other than just be nice to us. And again, they're going to have some guests on and let us see the film. And this movie is phenomenal. I'm sure all of you have seen it. Most of you probably have. The movie's made over $50 million in the last week, which for a faith-based, if you want to say, movie, which I think is kind of a misnomer a little bit because it has faith elements, but certainly not a like Christian movie in that sense. It is absolutely worth going to see and sending your friends. And it's a very important movie. So I just want to get that out of the way and say, yeah, we're not ignoring Sound of Freedom. Actually, we're going to be really showcasing it over the next week or so on this broadcast. Again, and not as a paid advertisement, nothing like that. Just because there are times in media, there are times in pop culture where there are important moments, and I think this is one of them.
Yeah, it is just wild to me, the criticism of it. First of all, no one denies, the UN doesn't deny that trafficking is a huge issue. We've been working on trafficking since I was in law school. We did a major campaign legally with state legislatures who needed to change the law so that when women came forward who were being trafficked, including minors, they weren't just charged criminally with being prostitutes. That's a way that they would actually keep them in sex trafficking. So they would say, hey, if you ever go and tell anybody this, they're going to put you in jail. They're going to take everything from you. So don't tell anybody. Don't tell law enforcement. And we got those laws changed so that if you are basically a woman who is being trafficked, you don't have to fear going to law enforcement. But that was just a twisted use of our laws that just had to be changed. We did that at the ACLJ in all 50 states. So this is not a new issue for us. It's a real issue. I don't know why. I do know why the media wants to come down on it. It's because it's not their story. It's not their narrative.
But this was a movie made 5 years ago.
Yep.
And it's been with shelved for 5 years. And they say that at the end of the movie. They tell you that. It's not like that's an unknown thing. It was shot by a different studio, purchased by the studios, merged, got shelved. And Angel Studios was able to get it out of off the shelf.
During all the Epstein stuff, they wouldn't have wanted it out.
Of course.
And when it was getting so much attention.
It's great. I think it's absolutely worth going.
Maybe they really don't want it out when Epstein was getting it.
Yeah, it makes you feel that way. Go see it. I encourage you to. They even have free tickets on their website, so you can go to that.
Yep.
But I know we're going to continue on the topic, but we're going to cover that more.
We're going to have more on it this week.
Absolutely.
I do want to go to Christopher Wray. So he's going to be testifying, Andy, before the House Judiciary Committee on Wednesday. And the questions by the committee. I mean, they're pretty strong. One is, why did that FBI withhold the FD 1023 from Congress and make it so difficult for them? You know, ultimately, that they were going to hold him in contempt to finally get it, and he did cave. So all those arguments, we can't show it to you, we won't show it to you, we never have been able to show it to you, they totally caved on that. So they want to know, why did it take us weeks to pressure you with contempt to finally get this document just so we could review it?
Well, it's going to be interesting to hear Chris Wray's response to that, isn't it? Because there's no reason for it to have resulted in the Congress threatening to hold him in contempt before he produced a document which, under the oversight powers of the Congress, had the absolute right to have. And I think another thing that is very interesting is Senator Grassley's letter to the U.S. attorney in Delaware. Why was the Internal Revenue Service not included in the briefing that was given at the FBI, at the Pittsburgh field office, with respect to the criminal bribery scheme involving then Vice President, now President Biden, and his son, corrupt Hunter Biden? Why was it not included in that? Why do we save the IRS for conservative groups? Do we save the IRS to use only against people who do not have share the values of a woke, left-wing liberal administration? Why were they not brought in? And what steps has the Justice Department taken to investigate the allegations that the whistleblowers have made? And I think Senator Grassley in this letter very heavily leans on the Attorney General Garland and on Director Wray to answer these questions that they have not answered.
Yeah, I mean, that's also part of what Jim Jordan wants to ask, which is, why did the FBI limit the number of witnesses? He listened to it a different way, who IRS investigators could contact during the Hunter Biden investigation. People are concerned that the FBI was screened from investigating anything that had to do with Joe Biden while they were trying to investigate Hunter Biden for being the conduit to money that went to Joe Biden. Right. So how on earth could you do a real investigation if you couldn't look, if you had to stop anytime you got close to Joe?
Well, you can't. You can't do a real investigation. It's impossible to really, if it touches the President of the United States as it does here. And the Assistant U.S. Attorney, Leslie Wolf, who was the top assistant, AUSA, Assistant U.S. Attorney to the U.S. Attorney Weiss in the District of Delaware, admitted there was enough probable cause to go to Joe Biden, to get a physical search warrant at Joe Biden's guest house, but prevented it from doing it, didn't want to do it because of what? Optics. Didn't look good. It was okay to go to former President Trump's place at Mar-a-Lago and turn it upside down, but it was not good optically to do the same thing to Joe Biden's guest house. And there's just all kinds of things are happening that go back to what we have been saying all along. This is the weaponization of the federal government, the Justice Department, and the FBI to take a particular political point of view, a particular political stance against people who are, or in favor in this case, of people who they judge to be the ones that they want to remain in power, and to keep out those who would take the power and clean the swamp out. And that's what's really bothering me in this thing, is that the weaponization of an agency that I was involved in for so many years, the Justice Department, has now been twisted and turned, Jordan.
Yeah. Joe on Rumble wrote, I predict Wray will not be able to answer. He will claim he cannot comment on an ongoing investigation. Is he going to be able to use that after he let them review the FD 1023, though? I mean, he was trying to use that before so they couldn't review it, but then he let him.
Yeah, he did. That's the strange thing. I think FBI Director Wray, whom I know is from Atlanta, has put himself in an untenable position here. How he's going to weasel out of it, I don't know. But you know, he doesn't need to be in that position anymore. I think Senator Cotton and many others have called for his resignation. He needs to go. He's part of the political machine. It's very sad to say that. He didn't start out that way, but he has become one of them.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly a protector of their bad actions. Yes. And it is a broad hearing, so it's a full, you know, kind of a Judiciary Committee oversight kind of hearing. And they're going to ask him about how the FBI worked with the social media companies to censor speech. And we know, Logan, that court order had to be immediately appealed by the Biden administration. They started canceling meetings the moment it came out.
Yeah, it came out, and then within hours they had, oh, we got to cancel because we can't really.
Did you see the meta terms for Threads, by the way?
What the data you're giving?
Yeah.
I mean, you'd probably be shocked at all social media platforms.
Lay it out very clearly, yeah. And it's like all of your search history, private info, which I don't know what that even means.
Yeah.
Does that mean everything on your phone?
Probably your. I'm not sure. Probably the details of whatever, in like address.
Secure information.
Yeah. And Probably. I haven't gone through all of it myself. So
it's just, it was just interesting to me to see, like, maybe they're coming out and saying, so you can't
just go up, be upfront about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They made it very screen shareable. Yeah. So a lot of people are saying, I'm not going to because of Twitter. We've got official accounts there.
Yeah, we're set up there. You know, we'll see. Like I've always said with ACLJ, what to me the most important thing is to make sure that our message gets out there, and we have to be where everyone is. The only one we're not on is TikTok for obvious reasons, mainly because Rick Grinnell turned to me and said, delete that off every device you have. And I said, that's probably, I trust him.
Yeah.
So that's part of the thing, reasons we're not there, but we're everywhere else. So you can find us, ACLJ, look up all of us, Jay, Jordan, Logan. We're all available on all your favorite platforms. As well as, you know, Rumble, we're obviously broadcasting on each and every day. YouTube, we're on each and every day. So find out all of that information at aclj.org, where you can just find everything. We are in the middle of our matching challenge, which means if you support the work of the ACLJ today, it is effectively doubled. We'll get into that more in the next segment on what that means. We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back to Secula. You know, we've been talking about these issues like trafficking, persecution of Christians, and the persecution of, again, religious minorities, which is a key work of the ACLJ. I explained to you how long we've been working on the trafficking issues, even in the United States, to make sure the laws were usable so that the women who get caught up in trafficking could go to law enforcement without fear of being prosecuted for prostitution, which is a threat that they are told by the leaders of these trafficking rings, is that if you ever go to law enforcement, you're going to be behind bars. They're going to prosecute you. You're the bad person. You're breaking the law. You're the criminal. We're protecting you from going to jail. And we had those laws changed in all 50 states. And now, and if you are able in that situation to get to law enforcement, you know that you are not going to be attacked. In this situation in Pakistan, we're just about to show you. This, again, is how we kind of fight for religious minorities who are being persecuted at the highest level. We represent a client in Pakistan who is on death row right now in Pakistan for blasphemy. I want you to listen. This is Cece Howell, you know from our broadcast, a senior attorney with the ACLJ. She is in Geneva today, and she delivered this because we're a special status with the NGO status with the United Nations. She delivered this to the entire UN Human Rights Council. Take a listen and watch.
The ACLJ's work at the UN Human Rights Council is extremely important.
We're taking specific, concrete action to protect those that cannot speak out for themselves.
The Human Rights Council is the entity within the United Nations body that is responsible for promoting and protecting all human rights. Blasphemy laws in Pakistan have been problematic since they were first enacted. Not only are these laws in complete contravention of the fundamental rights of freedom of religion and speech, they are intentionally misused, creating a mob culture that lacks regard for the rule of law or justice. Since their enactment, there have been over 2,000 cases registered, over 70 people murdered, and hundreds imprisoned. Many on death row are serving life sentences. One case that is extremely egregious sums up the injustice that Pakistan's blasphemy laws entail. Shahzad Masih. It was only 16 years old when he became the target and victim of a false blasphemy accusation. Not surprisingly, it was a mob that had him arrested. The miscarriage of justice started when the prosecutor chose to pursue the case, even though the police investigation found that no blasphemy had occurred. The injustice continued when the judge erroneously tried Shahzad as an adult, even though he was in fact a minor. Incredibly, even during the trial, all witnesses confirmed that Shahzad had not committed blasphemy, yet he was convicted and sentenced to death by hanging. It seems that when it comes to falsely accusing a young Christian boy of blasphemy, rules and laws simply don't apply. This innocent young man has languished in prison for over 5 years and is facing death for something he did not do and the prosecutor could not prove. Pakistan has a duty to right the injustice that runs rampant with its blasphemy laws. It should start by honoring its obligations to this body and repeal these unjust laws. Until that day happens, a good faith step would be to make sure justice is done in cases like Shahzad's. This innocent young man deserves his life back. His wrongful conviction should be overturned, and the rule of law, not the mob, should prevail. Thank you.
And that, again, that's the Human Rights Council. Those are all the ambassadors. When they show, if you're watching the whole room with all the ambassadors from different countries and many other countries that are not on the council attend the meeting. And of course, when you're calling them out by name, it gets a lot of attention. I've done it before at the UN. Our team from Europe does it regularly at the United Nations, something we do. But it just shows you how we highlight to the world in places that are not always real welcoming. You know, we go into Logan, the places that are not the most friendly, not the most welcoming, but we won't let them get by without having to hear it. This is what your UN is doing without condemnation. Where's your condemnation of Pakistan? Why do you turn the other way when you're putting people on death row for a bogus blasphemy charge?
Yeah, and for those who just tuned in, that was Sisi in Geneva, you know, today, in the last day. So that is how broad our team is. You know, you see her on air here most weeks, you know, popping in, doing a segment here and there. But maybe you don't understand the real scope of the ACLJ and how much work the ACLJ and our European affiliates and all that have on the world stage, beyond just this broadcast. I'd love to hear from you also, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to be heading into our second half hour in just a few minutes. Only of, you know, some people, if you're listening on mainstream traditional radio, some of you don't get that full hour. What I encourage you to do, flip off the radio, go over to aclj.org. You can find us broadcasting there or on one of your platforms like a Rumble or YouTube. We're broadcasting. You can see us. You can interact with us. You can interact with thousands of people each and every day who are like-minded, or you can debate. It's a pretty fun experience. You can do that on all of our platforms directly at aclj.org. Because I think, Jordan, when people see that kind of work that's happening, you see Sisi there making these statements, doing this oral intervention on behalf of the people all over the world, really, because not just this lone time. We've done it. You've done it. It's important work that's happening, and it can't be done without people supporting it. You may be listening right now and go, we've heard your pitch before, and we're going to be talking about that coming up. We are in the middle of our matching challenge for this month of July. And the reason we really push that hard is because in that month, there are people, Jordan, who have already said, we will match donations that come in. We will unlock their donation. We'll unlock our donation if a donation comes in matches it. So again, if you give $10 right now, for real, this isn't like some, you know, you get an email, it's 20 times match. It's not that. This is a real deal where the money gets unlocked as soon as you donate. So if you donate $10, it becomes 20, 100 becomes 200, so on and so on. And it's a really important time for the work of the ACLJ. And I hope you can see that when you see things like Sisi in there. You know, it's not free to get someone to Geneva to go do all of this.
No, and then, of course, we keep an entire team in Strasbourg, France, which is nearby in Geneva and just a train right away. And they're there regularly when the UN Human Rights Council is in session doing these. We try to show as many as we can on the air. Things have gotten back to normal there since COVID, so you can actually now go in person and deliver the remarks, which is better because you can, again, be in the room, meet with ambassadors, put the pressure on in a different way. And of course, there's a lot more work going on there than just that 2 minutes. We build up a lot. There's side meetings going on. There's an event we're hosting today, I know. I've already hosted on religious persecution. We bring in clients from around the world who have been persecuted so that these countries know that the people they persecuted are going to be right in the UN telling their story about what the countries did to them, what the governments did to them. So we bring them right to the UN. And yes, some of it is to shame these countries. They need a little bit of that, especially at the United Nations, where they focus most of their time on attacking Israel or the United States, and not enough time focusing on the real bad actors in the world who are not upholding the most basic human rights. Now, we're going to take your phone calls on the Biden investigation. We got more information. You know, Joe Biden let out some information, very dangerous, about our stockpile of weapons and ammunition being low because of the war in Ukraine. What do you think China thought of that? What do you think Iran thinks about that? What do you think the Russians think about that? Mike Pompeo is going to be joining us in the next segment to discuss that very issue, along with a new piece up he's got at aclj.org. So you don't want to miss that, because this was, again, I told you we had a lot to cover today on the show. If it was a misstatement by Joe Biden, it was a big misstatement to make in the news, because it kind of underscores, you know, if we know we're going to be sending these munitions off, we certainly need to be replacing them. Let's not ever be in a position where we're low on munitions because of another country's conflict. 1-800-684-3110 to be part of the show today. We'll start taking your phone calls to at 1-800-684-3110. And of course, as Logan said, this matching challenge, it's very important for us, the ACLJ. These are important financial months where you can double the impact of your donation at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Donate and double the impact of your donation. Be part of our matching challenge today. We'll be right back with Mike Pompeo.
keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. The second half hour of the broadcast, we'll be joined by a former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, on this admission by President Biden that let an American military info slip. I mean, I don't think he intentionally said it. If he did, I don't know for what purpose except for to damage the United States of America. But we know he's made a lot of slips and a lot of gaffes recently. This one more, I think, dangerous than just showing maybe ineptitude to lead because of what he admitted that unfortunately many people thought might be the case, which is that we're getting low on ammunition in the United States because of how much we've supplied to Ukraine and we're not replenishing it. And I think at least the American taxpayers, you know, while we're paying for our taxpayer dollars to go to Ukraine, would like to know that we are making sure, let's make budget cuts somewhere else and make sure we're replenishing the ammunitions we need to protect our own country and to protect the men and women who serve our country so that they have what they need in case anything was to break out in places like Taiwan, the United States, Russia, if Russia was to escalate, Iran, the Middle East. I mean, there's so many reasons why we need to make sure we're ready to go at all times. And it seems like he admitted that we're not. So we're going to talk to Secretary Pompeo about that. I also want to take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Eric in Texas on line one. Hey, Eric.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Eric.
I was trying to find out why Congress does not go after Joe Biden's tax records and all of his family's tax records. He went after Donald Trump's tax record,
yep,
and they went to the Supreme Court. So why does he not go after Joe Biden?
So, you know, we did that case. It took three different cases at the Supreme Court. It took years. That might be one of the reasons that it's not going to be fast, not going to be quick. You do have to say a legislative purpose separate from just wanting them. I do think they could. I think with Hunter, we know that they are being reviewed by the actual Department of Justice. That might complicate Congress getting a hold of them. I think that we'd honestly, after this next hearing, I think, Eric, it's fair to say, why aren't you requesting them? Now, I do know there was some backlash. Some members thought it was way too much harassment of the former president, and there might be some concern that, hey, we don't want to be copycats. We only want to be doing this if we believe there's a there, not just to feel like we're politically punishing someone to embarrass them because of their, or try to show, see, Donald Trump doesn't pay enough taxes because he's a smart businessman. That was all they were trying to do there is, and they tried to do that to Mitt Romney, remember? I mean, even so, I'm not defending, I'm just saying this has gone back and forth, and Democrats have tried to usually weaponize it. Republicans are trying to hold legitimate investigations and do it in a legitimate way so that it doesn't just seem, because it's not, to just be a partisan attack. I mean, so I do think there could be a point in time where that's the right decision by the House as they get to these investigations, if they feel like throughout all this other information, they have enough reason to need them, but without them, they won't be able to do their job. So I think that's where we are. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. I mean, I also think some of it's political timing. A lot of this, because it was being handled by investigators and it's just now coming to an end and now we're getting very close to the next election cycle. So how much time do you have to go to court to battle to get things out before the next election cycle? You just have to be realistic about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things we want to talk about as we head to the next segment, because we will have Mike Pompeo coming up, is obviously that we're right now in the middle of our matching challenge with the ACLJ. We've only got about a minute. And hey, Donald's online. He can stay on hold. We'll get to him a little bit later. So just let him know if you want to call in 1-800-684-3110. We are in the middle of our matching challenge for the month of July, and it's an important time to donate. This is really some of the most important months of the year, and why not do it this week? Because right now, all donations are doubled. Not obviously, you're not paying for it. We have someone else ready to match. You know, you said, Logan, I've heard you say this 1,000 times. I understand that, but there's some people who are brand new here, and we can't do this without you. This entire broadcast, this entire legal team, everything that happens to the ACLJ is because of almost the entire budget that we have to spend on this comes from individual people giving $20, $30, $40, sometimes a month, sometimes one time. And these are great times to do it because they are matched. So all you have to do is go over to aclj.org, nothing special. You'll see there's a button to donate. You'll see there's a matching challenge button. Just do it today. We'd really appreciate it. Just go to aclj.org. When we get back, Mike Pompeo will be joining us.
So, folks, I am very glad we've got our senior counsel for global affairs, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, joining us now. Because over the weekend, if you're watching the broadcast, you saw during the break, but I do want to play it for everybody who is listening to the broadcast. You heard President Biden make a pretty big admission in a CNN interview, not necessarily intentionally, but about U.S. ammunition stockpiles because of what we've sent to Ukraine and just kind of where they are in the world. I'll actually just let you listen to what President Biden had to say.
This is a war relating to munitions and the running out of that ammunition, and we're low on it. And so what I finally did, took the recommendation of the Defense Department to not permanently, but to allow for in this transition period where we get more 155 weapons, these shells for Ukrainians.
So right to you, Secretary Pompeo, is it concerning that the president's showcasing to the world how depleted our military is right now?
Well, Jordan, it most certainly is. This looks like something that wasn't scripted. And sadly, President Biden often, when he's unscripted, says things that are either inaccurate or unhelpful. In this case, I think it's probably a little bit of both. It's certainly unhelpful. I think that's what you're getting to. We should never acknowledge broadly to our adversaries that we've got a weakness or a shortcoming. We should project strength. This is how you deter, right? Remember, we get into this mess because President Biden says that a minor incursion into Ukraine might be okay. It seems like a long time ago, but weakness is provocative. And I think Vladimir Putin, hearing our president say, gosh, we don't have unlimited amounts of inventory to provide to the Ukrainians, will cause him to be even more determined and more resolved to continue to attack. Second, you know, as for what the actual numbers are, where we are, I've seen different descriptions of that. Obviously, I'm not in government, so I don't have a good handle on this today. But two things I think are both true. One, it's certainly true that we have provided a lot of munitions to the Ukrainians. Those would have been munitions available for others, maybe not even in every case for us. They might have been older weapon systems, older munitions. But second, the more strategic problem is we have a long-running gap in our capacity, our industrial capacity to provide for sustained conflict. And if this conflict in Ukraine, where we have provided relatively limited resources to them in a relatively small space, we are vastly unprepared to counter the even larger threat from the Chinese Communist Party. So if President Biden is even close, even remotely right about a shortcoming, we need to make sure that we put our industrial base in place sufficiently so that if there is a scaled conflict that involves Americans directly, that our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines have the tools and the ammunition they need to protect themselves.
I think that's very important for people to know, Secretary Pompeo. What you just said there is that what has been, again, this scale in Ukraine is depleting our ammunitions, and we were already on a path where we just don't have the industrial capacity. Is that something they can turn on if they want to? Can he order this? And I mean, I think this is the kind of spending that Americans don't mind, which is spending on our national security. Can it be turned on like a switch? Do we have that capability?
No, sadly, it's not just a flick of a switch. This has lead times. You have to get the raw materials. It's worth noting that the Chinese Communist Party is in possession of some of the materials we need for some of our more high-end systems. So again, much like we saw during COVID, we've allowed our supply chain to just get all out of balance and we've put ourselves at risk. It is not a flip of a switch. It takes time. It takes determination. It takes focus. And to the extent that we have a shortfall, this is a failure of the Biden administration to work a year, 2 years, 3 years ago to begin to replace it. I don't want to make this political. We need to make sure we get this right over the long run. Every mother and father who have a child who has signed up to defend America in uniform needs to be sure that we've done the right thing by their kids and make sure that they've got what they need if there is, in fact, a big conflict that involves them.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. I think that's something that it doesn't have to be political at all, that every American's like, this is why we pay our taxes, this is why we want to make sure we've got these defenses. It's number one reason is so that we've got what the military needs to defend us and to also defend themselves if there is a conflict. I want to go to the cluster bombs issue because there's just a lot of confusion about it. I mean, I think that people are, on the one hand, know that the United States, we don't sign a lot of these treaties restricting certain weapons. But we also know that the United States military has a kind of a different level of respect even on the battlefield for how we utilize certain weapons. There are people nervous now that if we give cluster bombs over to a military that we're not entirely control over, that it could escalate and cause the Russians to utilize weapons, which, again, may be more lethal even on the battlefield. I think some of this explanation for why we went to the cluster bombs is because we were running low on the other ammunitions.
Well, it's so unclear. This is the darndest thing about the Biden administration with respect to providing this support that I believe is deeply important for America. President Biden hasn't explained it, right? He hasn't explained to the American people, this is why we're doing what we're doing. This is how it matters. If you're in Arizona or you're in Michigan and you're trying to feed your family and take care of your kids and get them to school, make sure they're learning the right things, President Biden owes it to the American people to explain every element of the use of taxpayer resources to support the defense of Ukraine from Vladimir Putin. The munitions issue is no different from that. You know, I'm familiar with this particular weapon system that I think it is that they're going to provide now. You should know that the Russians have already been using a very similar system. That doesn't mean it's right for us to do it, but make no mistake, I think the chance that this is escalatory is probably pretty low. If Vladimir Putin intends to escalate, he will do it whether we use a particular weapon system or not. His tolerance for infliction of civilian destruction and wanton violence is pretty unconnected to what it is the United States is providing. So I don't think this will escalate. I do think there's a closer question about, do we have the controls in place to make sure these weapons get used in the right way by friendlies and don't end up in the hands of people that we wouldn't want them to end up? That is a legitimate concern. I pray that the Biden administration has done all of that homework before they actually deliver those weapon systems.
Right. I mean, because it's just, again, I think you're right. It's not like we're dealing with a rational actor with Putin. So you can't say, oh, because of A, B is going to happen. And I think it's important that you point out, too, because I don't think most people knew that these weapon systems, basically similar weapon systems, are already being utilized by the Russians against Ukraine. I think that people are just... they're just nervous because the whole thing seems to be spinning a little bit out of control with what's happened in the last couple of weeks in Russia, what's happening inside there domestically and their issues, and just kind of not hearing a clear plan, kind of just getting piecemeal issues from the Biden administration time and time again. I want to switch to a domestic issue because you wrote about it. It's a new piece up at ACLJ.org. So again, you can find this there. It's exclusive at our website from Secretary Pompeo. It's protecting free speech is fundamental to preserving America. And so we've talked about these international threats, but one threat domestically we're seeing time and time again is this administration specifically, and we just got uncovered by a federal court case, is just their focus on restricting Americans' ability to speak and criticize the government.
It's stunning, these revelations. Jordan, I think we all had a sense that this was taking place. We'd seen some of the stuff that came out of the Twitter files over the last months. We'd seen it, but now we saw naked. We saw actual names of actual people making actual phone calls and actual demands on a private company to take down information that was simply at odds with the government's position, with things that are certainly debatable. And now, in many cases, actually seem to have been right. But whether they turned out to have been right or not isn't really the point, Jordan. To the extent you have government officials essentially demanding that private companies censor speech, we're headed to a place, and I think people in every political perspective can see this, we're headed to a place that America has not been, where now we are using governmental power through a private proxy to try and do what the government clearly cannot do, deny us our basic freedom to speak and to debate and to discuss. I bet there's more there, Jordan. I haven't seen it. I can't prove it, but I'm guessing this is tip of the iceberg. And President Biden ought to call out those staff people on his own team who did that and say, that's not right. You shouldn't have done this. Or he should admit this was done in his own direction. Either way, this is a problem for the administration because it presents an enormous challenge to the First Amendment and the American people.
You know, they're fighting out in court. They're appealing that decision that they want to be able to tell those social media companies, not about like real threats from terrorism or real threats of maybe drug cartels and bad actors. Everybody would get that. That would be the correct way to go to a social media company or any company and say, hey, your product's being utilized by these bad actors. But to target Americans, because, hey, we don't like their speech. We don't like their viewpoint on this issue or that issue. And again, like you said, some of this stuff has been proved true, but that's not what the First Amendment's not about, true or false. It's about opinions. Secretary Pompeo, we appreciate you joining us and weighing in on all these very important issues. And again, we have Secretary Pompeo on our team so that we can go right to the heart of these issues like Ukraine. Right when a statement's made by President Biden, we know we can get Secretary Pompeo on for you to get to the bottom of how important that is, Logan. Yeah. I mean, and that you can't get anywhere else.
Nowhere else. We'll talk about that more in the next segment as well. We'll be taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Got a couple lines open, 1-800-684-3110. In the final segment of the broadcast, also talking about President Trump's reaction at UFC this weekend.
290.
And what it was like to be in that room. It looked pretty wild. We'll talk about that coming up. But support the work of the ACLJ. Also go to ACLJ.org. And Jordan and I will be doing a Secular Brothers podcast a little bit later today. So make sure you're subscribed to that on secularbrothers.com. We'll be right back.
Welcome back.
We're back on Secular. We're going to take some phone calls as well.
I'm just letting the music play a little.
You're just enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we can jump in too fast. We got too much to say. We got to jump in.
Well, yeah, you just want to let it breathe a little bit. We do encourage you to give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. This is going to be the last call for calls, if you will. We did want to talk a little bit about UFC that happened this weekend, one of their big pay-per-view moments, and it was filled with a lot of A-list celebrities, whether that was Mel Gibson or whether that was... Mark Wahlberg, and of course
Guy Fieri.
He doesn't like me to say Fieri. Fieri.
Oh, Fieri.
Yeah, like Fieri, but it's spelled like Fieri.
It's fine.
But all of them there. Yeah, Shane Gillis, all the comedians.
A lot of
obviously
NFL.
Rogan. Oh, there's always big celebrity moments, and you've seen now President Trump show up at these events over the last few years. I mean, he's obviously a big fight fan. Whether that is. Endeavor now owns UFC and the WWE. He's obviously connected to the McMahon family. Always had some love for combat sports, if you will. Yeah, but you never know in these kind of arenas when you're in a crowd, you're in Las Vegas, you know how it's going to go over. And I told you this, I texted you this, and it's one of those moments where I'm reminded of, and I'm not trying to be hyperbolic here, but I'm reminded of the moment of Trump coming down the escalator. And there was a moment I was watching that happen, and I said, this guy's going to win.
Yeah,
and I felt, look, I don't care if you're for him or against him. I had that feeling then. I had that feeling also watching the video of Dana White leading Trump out, and then to see the social reaction, to see all of the celebrities posting their pictures with Donald Trump. See this,
yes.
Almost as if this felt like a tide turning moment in a way that-
You're not afraid to post your photo with Donald Trump anymore.
Right, and that's pretty wild.
That's new.
Yeah.
Because remember, that was banned. You couldn't even say Trump on social media just a few months ago, right before he announced his campaign. Do we have any of the... Because, again, our colleague Rick Rinnell was there.
Rick was there, for sure.
Rick does a lot of UFC. Now, the first time he really did this since the campaign launch was in Miami. And I thought, okay, that's Florida. We know that's a very positive, pro-Trump. Miami's the only big city that has a Republican mayor. So I wasn't surprised there that he got a huge reaction in Florida. But going back to the Vegas usual UFC, this is the normal place they host the specials.
Yeah, right? T-Mobile Arena, I believe.
By the way, you gotta love ESPN, ABC, and Disney. They gotta love this, right?
walking right in.
So watch it. Take a listen. The crowd reaction from already a pumped up crowd to just what happened is pretty amazing.
So
the man.
And as you might expect for International Fight Week, a lot of people are in the building, but no one needs more security than the former president of the United States, obviously a really good friend of Dana White.
Oh, my word. I mean, listen, he's a massive, massive fight fan.
Like, Logan, I mean...
It's very casual in the sense of everyone is cheering.
Yeah, they know booze.
The announcers are not like the polar. Usually you'd hear that. I remember being at the national championship game, and they were like, you can hear there are pockets of booze. That wasn't this moment. Yeah. And we'll talk about it more on the Secular Brothers podcast. I really did feel that. And look, as someone who was always excited for the political season coming up and campaigns and debates and all that, it feels pretty undeniable. And it's hard to watch that and not see it. And I'm saying now for the first time, which I was certainly the person going, I think he's going to get the nomination. I think that's pretty going to be very hard to derail at this point. But this felt like a moment of, oh, he may win.
Because these voters, these are not traditional voters.
No, these are, I think, if you get that sort of Rogan base, who I don't even think maybe vote in the last few elections, if you can activate that, that's tens of millions of people. I don't think people understand the size of what we're talking about here when you talk about these broadcasters and podcasters.
And when you get deep in, like I've started to, I mean, it is a big world. Yes. And it's a very safe, it's funny to say this, it's a safe world for all of us. You don't, there's no woke. Woke has gone to die there a long time ago.
Certainly the UFC is not like that. And even if you're a more liberal person,
you still don't have to feel like you're going to get in trouble for what you say.
No, it's you know, fighting has always been that way. It's very uncensored. It's pay-per-view. It's no FCC regulations, no regulations at all, no sponsorship really regulations a lot of times. These guys are professional athletes and are allowed to say what they feel. And there's always been sort of this undercurrent of sort of patriotic conservatism that's kind of run through the UFC, same with the WWE, even if the wrestlers themselves or the fighters themselves aren't, it's part of the DNA.
They all want to go meet him, though. They were like hopping over the octagon.
To me, the wild part. Wild part was how many people posted pictures with him and all of that.
Jumping over the octagon to shake his hand, get a photo with him, like right before their fight. I mean, it's just, we'll get into it more on our podcast. I want to take calls. We got to take these two calls. Donald in New Jersey, first on line two. Hey, Donald.
Hey, how y'all doing? I thank you for taking my call.
Thank
you. I just wanted to verbalize my concern with no armament and supplies for our military. What else has Joe Biden done to the strategic oil reserves as far as being able to move our tanks and our ships and all of that?
Well, I know that's been. You remember they're using the strategic oil reserve for politics because it's not supposed to be used to bring prices down. We might all like the fact that it did bring prices down for a little bit, and maybe everybody likes that. Listen, the politicians know that. And Biden knows that everybody, we can make the real argument, which is strategic oil reserves are for a strategic problem. Like if you are in a massive war, like we were talking about with Mike Pompeo, I thought the scariest thing he just said today, which was very matter of fact from someone who was a CIA director and Secretary of State, was it's not that we're just low on munitions. We could not be in a sustained major conflict right now. And that is pretty shocking, I think, to most people think our military is the strongest in the world.
Yeah, undefeatable.
And when you hear that from the former Secretary of State and CIA director, that we don't have the industrial might to just be in a sustained conflict. Not that we want to be in one, but you know, this is when you say, okay, we don't mind our taxpayer dollars going to replenish so that we have the weaponry that we hope we never have to use. But Lord knows if we do have to use it, our military and men and women are going to have the best equipment possible and as much of it as they need.
Yeah, let's quickly take Jeff, who's calling in Texas in line one. He's been on for a long time. Jeff, you're on the air.
Thank you very much. I have a question. You guys have brought this up earlier about the $5 million. And if I recall, there was a transcript that came out that Hunter's speaking. So my dad's right here next to me. And I can make $5 million a year from any law firm. So to me, that doesn't sound like a negotiation for a one-time payment. It sounds like he's negotiating for $10 bucks a year, $5 million for each of them.
I don't think it was a one-time. I mean, I think that was maybe he's saying, you know, by the way, to get us to do anything, you know, is $10 million. Especially anything that's going to be more difficult, like working for a foreign country illegally, potentially. But what Joe Biden has said, and see, this is what he said, Jeff, and this is where you have to have a real investigation. He said, I wasn't there. And you know what Hunter could say? I was puffing out. I was on a WhatsApp message. They didn't know if my dad was next to me or not, and I was just doing a business negotiation.
Yep.
I don't know, by the way, that would necessarily mean it was totally legit. But it does, if he's trying to protect his father, the president, you can see why you've got to have the real investigation done to see, was he sitting next to him? Because you could actually figure out when the message was sent, where they were at that time. It's very easy to do with the president.
Absolutely. All right. Hey, we'll be back later on today with the Secular Brothers podcast. You can find that at secularbrothers.com. We are also in the middle of our matching challenge, as I said earlier. So go to aclj.org, make your donation today, and it'll be effectively doubled. We appreciate it. All gifts are doubled through the month of July. You should do that at aclj.org. Secular Brothers will do this afternoon. Talk a little bit more UFC. We'll talk a little more Sound of Freedom. And again, for those who are talking about the Sound of Freedom, we know that it has become a huge topic, and we're going to have some guests on later in the week from that film. I saw it last night. Again, not a paid advertisement. This is just an amazing moment to see this happen at the box office. So we'll continue that discussion on the Secular Brothers.